Jesus, we don't use this word kingdom a lot, but like Jesus used this word kingdom a lot to talk about what the dream of God was going to be like. It's when the rule of God becomes everywhere. It saturates everything, where all things are as they were created to be and as they should be. Who's strumming? Okay. Man. Yeah, go tell him to knock it off. That'd be great. Here, I'll just do it. Tony, I'm preaching. Knock it off. All right. Okay. So where were we? Okay, Jesus and his kingdom. You know, but it's about where God holds all things as they should be, you know, like that part of us that says, you know, I feel like things should be different. I know things should be a different way. Like these things are like in our world and in our family and in our hearts and our society and in our government and all these other sort of things. It's just not as it should be. Like that part comes from this place that God has put in us, because we are wired to live and breathe and have our being in this community with God, where God holds all things together as they were meant to be. And so Jesus told stories about this kingdom of God, and he did demonstrations about this kingdom of God. And Jesus said that we were living in this place where the kingdom of God is here among us, and yet it's still not. So it's here and not yet, here and not yet. And we live in this messy middle part where this beautiful dream of God has not fully come true yet. You know, but how do we even know that it's here now? How do we see that it's breaking in? There was an old answer for this that went quite wrongly, that churches get sometimes. The Catholic Church did it and said the bounds of the kingdom of God has to do with the bounds of our institution. And that God's involvement in the world is the same, is within the boundaries and is in the workings of our institution, and that wasn't true then, and it's not true now, and it's not true for any church or any denomination or anything like that. That we know that God is at work, and we see the sign of God's kingdom not through an institutional lens, but by looking for things like joy and peace and hope and healing, the rebuilding of community, which we're going to be talking about today, the wonderful gift of God's presence, of people being rescued and people experiencing deliverance and rescue in all sorts of amazing and good ways, that those are things that we can look at and say, wow, God is here and God is at work and God's kingdom is breaking into my life and it's breaking into my family, and that there's bad stuff going on, but God is in the midst of this, something about it, and these things that were this way are not that way anymore. I can see hope about things changing, and I hear people singing into the darkness. That must mean that God is here, that God's kingdom is here. That's how we know. That's how we know. On our seventh birthday, I'm really excited to be talking about, you would think that I was going to be talking about marriage and submission, not that based on the text, but talking about God rebuilding community. And this is so important, because it doesn't, doesn't matter who you are, unless you are just a hermit living all out by yourself somewhere, our lives are completely surrounded by community. It can be the smallest community of a husband and wife, or a friend, or siblings, or whatever, or it can be bigger things of family and church and neighbors, and community and work environments and all of those things. And those relationships, those community of relationships, they shape our lives and they shape who we are, and they shape the quality of our life and how we feel about things and how we see stuff and what's happening. Those relationships, they matter. And our life-giving relationships and life-giving community, healthy community, and good matters a lot to us. And what happens, and since those things are so important, what happens, God gets in the middle of that stuff, and God infuses those relationships with health and with life, and with God's goodness. And it begins to change. And God does that the same way that God has always done that, by getting a hold of an individual, a person in that community, and changing their heart. God always is. God is the ultimate grassroots leader of getting a hold of each one of us at the soul level and changing what we love and changing what we grieve and changing what we dream. And then changing, and by us being different and us being new, God changes the communities that we're in, our work relationships and our work environments and our families and our friends and our marriages and our sibling stuff and the environment and the culture of our street. That's how God does it, by changing us. When we see God changing community, we see people being moved from isolation into belonging, from anxiety into well-being, from despair into hope and stress into peace and oppression and protection and meaninglessness to purpose. When God gets a whole community, those are the things that you see and you say, hey, God is here. God is here. It's not because some church or some institution or something else has got their stamp on it. It's because you see these things and we know that God is at work when people are moving from feeling oppressed to feeling protected and from feeling anxious to having a well of well-being in their life and in their community. I'm going to give you three kind of a lens to see your communities in, and I want you to take this with you. And this doesn't matter, like I said, when we say community, community is just can be as small as two people, and it can be as large as a church or a mega church or anything, or as large as a country. If we think about communities, there's only three types that I'm going to make up for you. In the lens that I'm giving you. There's pirate ships, there's cruise ships type community, and there's rescue ship community. So I think all of us in our life have experienced all three of these. Maybe not the last one. I hope that you have, especially if you're here. I hope that you have. But I think all of us have experienced some pirate ship community and some cruise ship community, and maybe a little rescue ship community. So on a pirate ship, the people might be nice to you on a pirate ship, but you can't trust them, right? You can't trust them. And they're only nice to you while things are going well, when wealth and plunder and the pursuit of power, we're seeing winds in that direction. People are nice to each other then. You can't trust them, though, because they might turn their back on you at any moment because they're pirates after all, right? And it's about the other pirates, but it's also about the individual pirate, right? Because the pirates all together, they want wealth and power, and they will go out into the world and go and get it, but they also want wealth and power for themselves, and they will take you out to get it. You can't trust pirates, and you can't trust pirate ships, and the world can't trust pirates. They're aggressive and they're tricky. They develop win-lose relationships with each other and win-lose relationships with the world. And they will love their captain, and they will sing hearty songs to their captain as long as that captain is winning and bringing them wealth and power. But the moment that captain starts to take on less wins, begins mounting up some losses, they look out, because those pirates are going to, what is that called? Mutiny. They're going to mutiny. Or they're going to begin looking for other ships, other pirate captains. Somebody's going to be walking the plank. That captain is in trouble. They love their captain as long as that captain is bringing them wealth and power. Some of you have had marriages like this. Some of you have relationships with your family and your siblings like this. Some of you work in work environments that are that way. That they are a pirate ship community. that they are after the wealth and the power, and you can't trust the people, and you might get along with the people, and you might sing songs, and you might tell jokes, and you might work together, okay, but you can't trust them. And neither can the world, because they are sailing the seas looking for what they can take with a win-lose mentality. The other kind of community is cruise ships, and that sounds nicer, right? That sounds so much nicer, but it's actually really not. It's only by a thin margin. Cruise ships nicer than pirate ships, because they can turn to pirate ships so fast. I've been a part of churches that were like pirate ships, and I've been a part of churches that are like cruise ships, and they're both dangerous. So somebody goes on a cruise, right? Like, they pack their stuff and they get on the cruise because they want to have a good time. They're in it for themselves. They're after their own good time. Gracie can sing out all she wants. I'm glad she's here. If Tony can play his guitar and sing outside, you know, during the sermon, then Grace too. So there you go. A cruise ship kind of relationship or a cruise ship kind of marriage is one where you really only mean about half the vows, where you're saying for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, you know. That you're happy on your cruise ship relationship as long as things are staying on top and moving up, you know. You're in it for me, you're in it for mine. You want to make sure that the evaluation that's going on in your head is making sure that you're getting good return for your time and your money. Am I having my own good time here? That sounds a bit like a piece of wonderful advice that Mary brings to people about we're all responsible for our own good time, but that's a different subject. It's good. Cruise ship people, they might talk like that they are concerned about the problems out in the world, but it's only in a superficial level. So that while they're sitting around the pool or they're sitting around the bar sipping their drinks and things, that they can talk about the things that are happening in the world. So it makes it sound like they're good people, like they care, like they're informed, because after all, it's all about them, right? But they're not really concerned about the world outside of their cruise ship, because what they're concerned about is their own good time. They want to make sure that they're getting their time and their money's worth. They want to make sure that they are entertained and they are amused, that they are comforted and taken care of and treated special. Anybody been a part of a church like this? And people tend to think that pirate ships are better than cruise ships, but these cruise ships, they can turn into pirate ships so quickly. It's just a thin, thin veil that keeps a cruise ship of self-centeredness and as wine is flowing and the pool feels nice and the music is wonderful and the steaks are cooked just right, then they're not pirates. But as soon as that goes away, they start becoming pirates. These people are tourists, and if they're not getting what they came for, they get upset. These people will sing their captain's praises as long as they're getting what they paid for, as long as they feel like they're getting their time and their money's worth. But as soon as they don't, they begin looking elsewhere. They begin thinking about, how can I roast this person? How can I stick it to them for me not getting what my good time? The tourist on the cruise ship, they'll take a few choppy waves. They might even take an inconvenience or two. They may get up to get their own drink, perhaps. May even go so far as to get up and go and get someone else's drink, even. However, if the drink stops flowing, if there's too many rough days, if a day is too rough, if anything goes wrong, then they're not going to be singing that captain's praises anymore. They don't want to be there, and they're going to be looking for other arrangements. It just doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. And then there's rescue ships. People on rescue ships aren't called pirates, and they're not called tourists. They're called the crew. The crew. And they think and they act differently. They think and they act like a crew. They're not there for the joy or the aggression against others, for power and for wealth at any cost. It's not their game. They're not pirates. They're not there for their own good time and what's in it for them. They're not tourists. They're a crew. Each member of the crew is there to be on a rescue ship, to give and to serve and to sacrifice for the good of others, for the good of their fellow crewmates and the good of the people out at sea that need rescue. They're out for the good of others who are out at sea all alone and just barely treading water. They're there for people who are stuck on an island without enough food or water to drink. They're there for the people who are stranded and have been stranded and so alone for so long that they wonder if life is even worth living. They're there for the people who are lost in a sea of anxiety. And they're there for the people who see the clouds of depression closing in with no hope of sunlight coming after that. They're there for those who have been captivated by the siren song of addiction, no matter what that addiction is. They're there for those people. They're there for those people who've been blown off course, lost their way, who've lost their purpose, who've lost their direction, and don't know how to get back or remember if they ever were on track. The crew of the rescue ship is loyal to each other because they know that none of them can do it without the people standing beside them. Nobody can do it on their own. They also know that everybody needs rescue from time to time. And really, if we're going to be honest, we all need rescue really all the time. The crew doesn't show up for themselves. They show up for others. And that changes things. That makes the crew completely different than pirates and completely different than tourists. The crew knows that they don't have to be concerned about what their wants and their needs are, because as long as they're looking out for the wants and needs of the people beside them, that those people are looking out for them. I don't have to worry about me because you're going to worry about me. That's what tribe and that's what crew is all about. I don't have to worry about me because I know that you're going to worry about me, and I'll be okay and you'll be okay. They know that not only their crew members, but their captain is going to take care of them. And they're just there to make sure that the mission doesn't they don't go off course from the mission, and the people beside them on the boat are okay. And that crew, they love their captain. Man, they love their captain. And they wouldn't sail with anybody else, and they wouldn't sail for any other reason. And no storms or hardships are going to change that. And in fact, the more storms and the more hardships that they go through, the more that they love their captain, the more they are committed to being a part of the crew, the stronger the crew gets together, the more hardships and difficulties and storms and losses that they face. They become stronger and more loyal to each other and loyal to the mission and loyal to the captain. Some things we all need to know about these communities called ships. It doesn't matter what size it is. That you can have the smallest of relationship. It is like being on a pirate ship or being on a cruise ship or being on a rescue ship. Or the biggest ones. And another one that's really important is the type of boat that you're on. It doesn't determine what kind of ship it is. You can have a cruise ship that is actually a pirate ship. You can have something that looks like a pirate ship, but it's actually a rescue ship. And you can have a rescue ship, something that looks like a rescue ship, but it's dangerously and actually a pirate ship. What makes the difference is not the type of boat that it is, but the people on board. The people on board. Are you a pirate? Are you a tourist? Or are you a crew member? That's what makes the difference. Not the type of boat, And the other thing is that God is in the business of turning pirate ships and cruise ships into rescue ships. That God does that all the time, every day, all over the world. And God does it the same way that I mentioned earlier, and I all the time, is that God takes an individual person and gets a hold of them, and they say, God, I don't want to be a pirate anymore. I'm hating this cutthroat life. This life of a tourist is so empty and it is so shallow. I don't want this anymore. Show me another way. And God begins to show them a way to be, how to be a crew member. And that becomes contagious, and God does that over and over again. And God works in those that individual's life and all the individual's lives, and God begins to fashion a pirate ship or a tourist or a cruise ship into a rescue vessel by changing the people on board. I want to show you how this works in just the smallest of communities. And I love that a lot of people just hate the scripture that we read. It's the smallest of community of two people. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. I just showed my friends the Bowlings here beforehand. If you open your Bible and you go to Ephesians chapter 5 and you read it, it's going to have a section heading in there that might say like husbands and wives or marriage or whatever. Guess what? Those headings weren't in there. It's just a letter. So you just read it, and people that have an agenda and they're trying to stick an agenda on the Bible will put that heading in there where they separate, submit to one another, out of reverence for the Lord, and then it was like, hey, totally new thought, new idea, pause, different direction, wives, submit to your husbands. You know, completely different section here. No, submit to each other, and then it starts getting into what this looks like when we are all submitting to each other. So if you don't read your Bible right, you know, and if the people that published it are sticking their own agenda in there, then they're going to steer you wrong. So what Paul is doing is actually the people that stick that in there, he's trying to undo what the people that stuck that section heading in there are trying to force back into Paul's letter. He's changing a power dynamic. Because in the world of Rome, the big question in all communities, all ships, whether it's the smallest ones of friends or siblings or husband and wife, was who's in charge? Who has the power? Who has the power? And so anything that you would typically read that's not Paul's stuff, that's not Jesus' stuff, would say, hey, this person is in charge. And so Caesar is at the top, and we're going to go all the way down to slaves at the bottom, and it's very clear who has the power and who is in charge. But when Paul talks about this stuff through the lens of Jesus, he breaks it all apart. He says, it's not the question. It's not the question for you anymore about who is in charge. The question is, who is being like Jesus? Who is serving and who is giving? So it works like this. Like, go back and read this text again, because it's really good. Ephesians 5. So it works like this. Paul's saying, submit to one another, husbands and wives. And later he says, I'm not really talking about marriage. I'm talking about the church, but still do this, husbands and wives. So Carrie and I are married. Hi, Carrie. What it says, submit to one another, and then it says, he's saying, Carrie, submit to Nathan. Submit to him. You subordinate your desires, your whatever, your happiness, whether I want to clean the dishes, whether I want to do this, whether I want to do that, and like you do whatever you can do to serve and to love him. Okay? And then it says to Nathan, husband, says, Nathan, you, using Christ as an example of how much God loved you and laid his life down for you, that you lay yourself down for your wife. And so the dynamic that Paul sets up here under the model of Christ is that Carrie is going to be trying to submit to me, and I'm going to be saying, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. And I'm going to do everything, I'm going to lay myself down for your interest and your good or whatever. And so this... you can see this if you've been around me enough to hear this in like my leadership model. Is people say, Nathan, what are we going to do about this? And I'll say, let me ask Carrie, and then I'll tell you. Yeah, it works well that way. It works well that way, you know. So we've got, instead of a race to see who's on top and who's in charge and who has the most power over the other person, we're racing to be like Jesus, to love the other person with a self-giving, self-sacrificing love. That's the race that we're in, because we're in a race towards Jesus, and it doesn't matter whether Carrie, the amount of love and affection and whatever else that Carrie does, because I have my job, you know, and that doesn't change based on what Carrie does, because my obligation is first and foremost to God. Some of you guys know we married so Delisa and Armando. They've come to church a few times, and Tori, go to the next slide, man. So married them yesterday. They've got six kids, going through some rough times. They're homeless right now. And Armando came up to me a little while back, and he said, "Nathan, I love this girl, and I really want to marry her. And my whole life long, we've had a hard time just getting things rolling, especially the last few months have just been so bad. But like, she's my everything, and I love her. And I've been wanting to marry her and ask her to marry me for so long. But people keep telling me like, hey, you don't have this together, and you don't have this together, and you got to go through this, and you got to pay for all these things. And they're like, but Pastor, is there any way you think that I could marry this girl? And I'm like, man." Armando, like, you've got six kids with this girl and been here with her for 10 years. I don't think we need to do any premarital counseling. I think you probably know what you need to know, you know? So, and they're already, like, going through homelessness together, and they're sticking it out, and they have some rough moments, but they're often, like, just so sweet to each other, and it's just incredible. And so we had them to the church yesterday, and Oliver and Lyra and Caleb and... who else was here? And they had some friends and some family, just a little gathering of people here, and we married them. Go to the next slide. They were so happy. He was so nervous, and he was shaking, you know, and he's like, I know I shouldn't be nervous, but, you know, I'm just nervous, man. And she was crying, and go to the next one. So there's all their kids. It's really hard to get, like, six kids to stay still at the same time. But, like, they were ready to get married, you know? So I want to, if I didn't lose it, I want to read you a part of the ceremony, the vows, that we always say. And this isn't just about marriage. This is about people stuff. Because remember, God is saying in Ephesians, it's not just, this isn't just husband and wife stuff. This is the church. This can be friends and siblings and mothers and daughters and all sorts of things. This is part of the ceremony. A Christian marriage is first and foremost a promise to God. Your relationship to God is the primary relationship in your marriage, not your relationship to your partner. This may seem like mere symbolism, but it's not. In a secular marriage, when one person is not feeling the love and the warmth from their partner that they expect, they will often withdraw from offering their own love and warmth to their partner. This makes perfect sense in a contractual type of relationship. In a Christian marriage, the love and the kindness and respect one partner gives to the other is not based on how well the other partner gives those things, though it does make things easier, because the primary relationship and the foundational promise is not with your partner, but it's with God. And therefore, is independent of how the other person acts or behaves. The love and the kindness and the respect you give to your partner is based on God's love and kindness to you. God gives you the capacity to faithfully love your partner even when your partner is unlovely, because God loves you when you are unlovely. Living in this kind of relationship, being loved by someone regardless of how unlovely you have been or are, is a humbling and beautiful experience that points us and shapes us towards God. And that has everything, that is a marriage ceremony, and it's the one, it's always in every wedding that we'll do, but But it's not just about husband and wife relationship stuff. It's also about our relationships to each other. That we love other people because God loved us. And so what we are seeing in Ephesians here is that is God jumping into this community that had been about piracy, about who's in charge and about power and control, and gets in the middle of it and says, no, completely different. We're gonna be a crew. We're gonna be a rescue ship. We're gonna love each other and sacrifice for each other and do whatever we can for each other. And let me tell you, when life goes this way, when marriage goes this way, when friendships go this way, it is a blessing to everyone around them. A blessing to the children and to the friends and to the relatives, and it changes things. And people see rescue crew kind of relationships on other ships, and they say, I don't want to be a pirate anymore. I don't want to be just cruising around on this cruise ship anymore. I want something more, and I want something different. You know, something weird here. I would think that the cruise ship, I would be happier on a cruise ship than I would on a rescue ship. But I can tell that those people love each other, and that they're happier on that cruise, on that rescue ship, than I have ever been on this cruise ship. Let me get a little bigger here. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, you'll find this story where Jesus has died and resurrected, and this sect of Judaism has begun, that is followers of Jesus. They're followers of the way. I don't even know if they've begun to be called Christians yet. But they've brought with them some bad habits from the past, you know, and almost all Christians at the beginning were Jews. Because Jesus was a Jew, his first followers were all Jews. But like a really unique thing that happened as it spread into the rest of the world is that, different than any other sect of Judaism, is that followers of Jesus, followers of the way, they welcomed and they included other people, regardless of whether they were Jewish or not. They said, if you want to belong with us, we want you to belong with us. You belong. We love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And we're going to love you too. But that hit a little speed bump here, a little bump in the road, in Acts chapter 6, where you've got widows, people that have very, very little job opportunities, a few ways to take care of themselves and their families. And so they're dependent on other people being good to them. And the church has begun distributing food among the widows inside their church and outside their church. But one of the problems that comes up to the apostles is they find out that the Jewish widows are getting the food that they need, and that the Greek widows are being left out. They're getting the leftovers or the seconds, or they're not getting as much or anything at all. They're being left out. And so the apostles, they hear about this, and like good Christian leaders, they say, whoa, what's happening here? We are not a cruise ship. You're not going to find this in Acts 6. But anyway, I'm summing it up. We're not a cruise ship here. We're not here for me and mine to get ours and have a good time. What's wrong with you people? We're not a pirate ship. We're not here at each other's throats. And we're not the kind of people that we can't trust each other. We're not going to live like that. And we don't lash out at the world around us. We're not going to do it. We don't live that way. We're a rescue ship, and we're going to act like it. And we're not going to get bogged down on acting like pirates and tourists in this world. What we are about is way too important for that. And so what they do is that they get seven Greek people, and they put them in charge of that are non-Jews, and they put them in charge of the food distribution. Problem solved. We're not doing it. Moving on. We are gonna stay on course with the mission. And I am so proud. Like, that is an important part of a pastor's job, of a church's job, just to stay on mission. And things are gonna come up. They're gonna come up at Edgewood Church. I have never been a part of a church that is more of a Jesus-centered cruise ship or a rescue ship, not a cruise ship, rescue ship. Certainly not that. The luxury of the chairs that we have to offer you today. Never been a part of anything like Edgewood Church. And it's because of what God is doing in your lives. and in my life and in this community that God is giving us. But this is a part of it. This is a part of it. That stuff's going to come. There's a part of us that wants to kind of bend towards being pirates. And there's a part of us that just wants to bend towards being tourists. And there's times that that you and I and different people need to stand up and say, hey, we're not doing that. Remember, we're a rescue ship. We're not a bunch of tourists. We're a crew. We're here for a reason and for a purpose. And there's people that are lonely and they are scared and they are depressed and they are anxious and they don't know that God loves them. And that's what we're here for. We're not looking at in ourselves. We're looking out to the sea. And that we're going to go find those people that are barely treading water and barely keeping their head up. And we're going to pull them out and snatch them out. We're going to invite them to be a part of our crew. We got to guard that stuff. We got to guard that stuff. But I am so, on our seventh birthday, I have never been more grateful and more excited to be a part of this church or any church than I am today. That I... When we started out, it was just Carrie and I, two ministers that just didn't, just going to follow God no matter what, you know? We didn't know that. Sometimes we said, God, this is not what I thought I was signing up for. But today I look around our church and people are loving their neighbors and they're loving their coworkers, and I'm hearing stories of people like praying for for each other and texting each other and sending each other notes. People loving the people in their community and giving of their time and their money to serve each other and look out for the people around them. People taking up different ministries that we'd maybe some that were already going in the church and like, hey, I'm going to run with that. You guys aren't doing such a great job of it. I'm going to do awesome. Great. Great. People finding ways to love their neighbors and to love each other here, the other people on the crew, and to love the people lost out at sea. I've never been more grateful, never been more excited. And as you and as I come more and more alive to what God is calling us to be and how much better it is to live as crew than it is to live as pirates or live as tourists, that God is going to keep doing amazing, amazing things, because you're not going to go out into this world and sow seeds of love and hope and redemption and beauty and not reap an amazing harvest. And the people of this church are sowing seeds over and over again, week after week, into each other's lives and out into the world. And this world, your life, and in mine, and this community here, in our church, and the broader community is going to be different, and it is different because we are here and because what God is doing in your life and you saying yes to God. I don't want to be a pirate. I don't want to be a tourist anymore. God, give me something more. I'm so tired of this. I want more. I want more. I want more. And God answers that prayer, and God is answering that prayer. God is in the business of taking pirates and tourists and making them into crew. And God is doing that in this place. Praise be to God.